Well, today is Father's Day, and so if you slipped in before I got a chance to tell you, happy Father's Day, and welcome to come to our service here today as we celebrate our fathers, and it is a day for our fathers, and so I hope that you've had a good day already today, and maybe you've got some, I don't know, some breakfast in bed, or maybe you've got some plans this afternoon, but I hope that you are celebrated here today because you are worth it, Lord, and we want to honor you here today. But we're going to look at a lesson today, lessons learned from Eli, and we'll be in 1 Samuel. If you want to open your Bibles there, you're welcome to do so, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today, and Lord, first of all, we want to say thank you to you. You as our Father, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for loving us despite all that we've done, all that we do. And Lord, your love for us is just overwhelming. And so we are grateful for you first and foremost. And Lord, also we thank you for our fathers that are here. Lord, we know that sometimes parenting is not always easy. And as you have called us fathers, Lord, to be our spiritual leaders of our family, sometimes we fail, Lord. Sometimes we don't do what we need to do. And so I pray that you would help us here this morning. Guide us, Lord. Teach us, Lord, the things that we need to do so that we can be the spiritual leaders that we need to be in our families. But I do thank you for our fathers that are here. And I know, Lord, even this time, this may be a sensitive time for some people. Maybe they don't have kids around, Lord, that they can connect with, or maybe the relationship is such that there's not a desire to connect there, Lord. We do pray for some, Lord, that maybe have lost their kids or maybe they've lost their father. And so, Lord, I know this may be a difficult time for some people during this time of year, Lord, but we still want to come together and we want to honor our fathers, Lord, as you've commanded us to do. So, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to do so. And as we celebrate fatherhood here today, and give us some instructions, Lord, on how we can be the best fathers we can be. And we thank you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today is Father's Day, and happy Father's Day to all you fathers. And this could be a glorious day when your kids gather around and they show their love for you in different ways, in various ways. And I hope that you will experience that here today. But also we know it could be a sad day if not in contact with your father or with your sons or if they passed away. So either way, we still want to take that opportunity here this morning to show them honor, to celebrate fatherhood here this morning. And so we honor our fathers here today and encourage them to continue to influence their children as long as they live. Because you have the opportunity to do that. As long as you got breath in your life, well then you can influence your children for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's Father's Day, dads, I'm going to be speaking primarily to you here this morning, just like I do and generally with Mother's Day. But many of these principles can be applied to parents in general. So moms, this is for you too. I'm not going to leave you out. You don't need to go and take a snooze or take a siesta. This is for you as well. I want you to engage with the service here today as well. And maybe if you're not a parent here this morning, listen, I want you to listen up anyway because maybe you might be a parent someday. And this is going to be some information that I want you to take hold of and so you can apply to your future parenting and into the future. But also, if you're a grandparent, I think this will be good for you as well. Or if you don't have kids, look, maybe this is an opportunity for you to have a godly influence on somebody who doesn't have a father. Maybe it's a child that doesn't have a father. And so this is an opportunity for you to be involved with them as well. And so there are plenty there in the message for all of us here today. And so let me encourage you with that here this morning. Now, let's go ahead and admit here this morning that parenting is tough. Parenting is tough, hard work. And if you don't believe that, then chances are you're probably not parenting, okay? If the truth be known. It's tough, it's hard work. We do some things right, and then we do probably a lot of things wrong. And even when you have experiences of raising maybe two or three kids, look, we still make mistakes, don't we? Wouldn't it be amazing if we could speak to someone who's made all the mistakes imaginable and for them to allow us to give us a bit of heads up when we're doing things wrong and we're not doing things quite right and we make mistakes with our kids? Well, in the scriptures here, you're in luck. because we do have an individual here in Scripture that made a lot of mistakes with his kids. And so we can learn from the mistakes that he's made. There's a man in Scripture who really messed up with his kids. He neglected to do what he was supposed to do. And it actually cost his kids their lives. And also had an impact on his life as well. And the man's name was Eli. And so what would Eli say if he were to come back and talk to us about parenting? If I could bring him up on the stage here today and say, Eli, tell us a little bit about parenting. What information, what advice could you give us here this morning? Well, Eli made some big mistakes in the own parenting of his son, and which resulted in terrible consequences for Eli and his family. And Eli would have much to say to fathers today. And he would be speaking from personal experience and probably speaking with a lot of passion and regret for the mistakes that he has made as a dad. Some of us here this morning may be able to relate to that. If we go back and look at our own fatherhood, we probably think about maybe some of the mistakes that we've made. And maybe we are in the position we are today because of some of those mistakes. And you too, if you could go back and maybe do a do-over, you'd probably do things a little bit differently. So let's imagine Eli was back with us here this morning. And what Father's Day advice would he have for us today? And I believe he would share with us at least four things here this morning. He probably would have a lot more to say, but because of time, we won't go down all those things. But we'll probably just do four here today. Four things he would probably share with us. Number one, he would probably tell you that God must be a priority. God must be a priority. He'd come to you and say, Dads, you know, we need to put God first in your life. Would be one of the things he would tell us. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 27, it says, Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I not clearly reveal myself to the house of your fathers when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Who's he talking about? He's talking about Aaron. Whenever he put Aaron in charge of the priesthood here. And these are people that have in that generation, in that line, that passed down the priesthood. And so he says, he's talking about Aaron here when he first started out. Did I not choose you from out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest and offer up my upon my altar to burn incense and to wear the ephod before me? And so this was, he entrusted him with some honorable work here in Exodus chapter 4. And he's given that over to Aaron. And now he's saying, did I not give to the house of your father all the offerings of the children of Israel made by fire? He had put up a way of taking care of them because they were doing the honorable job that they were supposed to be doing. He's saying, look, I'm going to have God's people come and bring offerings. And with that, I'm going to take care of you with that. I'm going to give you what you need in order to sustain yourself and for you to have what you need to survive. He says, why do you kick or trample down is what that word means. Why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I've commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourself fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Dads, first of all, the first thing Eli would tell you is that, hey, listen, you need to put God first in your life. You need to put God first in your life. This was Eli's first and greatest mistake, is that he didn't put God first in his life. He had other priorities. He had other concerns, things that he wanted to worry about. In fact, he even showed discontent for the things of God. And so if this is important for us to put God first in our lives, you may be asking the question, well, how do we put God first in our lives? How do we put God first in your life? Well, we see three things in this passage. First of all, we need to honor God. We need to honor God. Putting God first means honoring God above all things. And when God sent his prophet to rebuke Eli, notice what he asked him here in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 29. He says, why do you honor your sons more than me? Why do you honor your sons more than me? Eli has put his sons before God. How often do we as parents use our children as an excuse not to be involved in the things of God? Eli's sons were abusing the sacrifice in the temple, and Eli knew what they were doing, but yet he chose to do nothing about it. And in that way, he honored his sons above God. His sons were dishonoring God, and yet instead of removing his sons from their priestly duties, he honored them by allowing them to continue as priests, even in their sins. You see, he had a double duty here. Not only was he a father, and he should have rebuked his sons, but also he was the high priest. And he should not allow those his sons to be priests when they were living the lifestyle that they were living. Remember, the priests were supposed to represent the people and offer sacrifices to God in order for the removal of sin there. But they didn't do that. They were actually involved in the sin. And people knew about it. And we see the hypocrisy because they were the ones that were living an open, habitual sin before the people of God. Men, we need to honor God above all things, above our families, above our money, above our friendships, above our jobs. God needs to take preeminence in our lives. He should be first in our lives. But also, Dad, another thing we need to do in order to put God first in our life is we need to deal with sin. We need to deal with sin. Putting God first means dealing with the sin in your life. Eli not only let his sons continue in their sin, but he participated in their sons' sin with them. His sons were taking the choice portions that was reserved for God in these sacrifices. And when they brought it home, well, Eli was getting his portion as well. He was enjoying the food that they were bringing. The prophet made it clear that Eli was fattening himself on the offerings of the people along with his sons. And they were taking more than was required. And Eli was enjoying their forbidden food, and he was getting fat. And the Bible actually describes him as a fat man in 1 Samuel 4:18. It says he was a heavy man. And the Bible usually probably don't use a lot of that description oftentimes. But for this guy, he did. He says, hey, you're getting fat. And the reason why you're getting fat is because you're taking what doesn't belong to you. You're taking what belongs to God. And he was benefiting from his son's sin. Pastors who watch porn don't preach against it. Preachers who are alcoholics don't preach against alcoholism. And the same can be true with dads as well. They usually don't speak against the sins that they are involved in. And dads, if there is sin in your life that you are not bringing before God and confessing, then you are endangering your family and the well-being along and your well-being along with your sons. And your kids. You are the spiritual leader, and your walk with Christ sets the tone for everybody else in the home. In fact, if you go and actually look at statistics, I don't have them here because I wasn't planning on talking about it, but if you actually go and look at statistics, whenever the father comes to know Jesus Christ in the family, I think it's like either 90 or 95% chance of the rest of the family actually coming to know Jesus Christ as well. But if the father doesn't want to become a Christian, the father doesn't avoids the things of God, well, then there's a very high probability that the rest of the family doesn't either. And so there's a reason why we are the spiritual leader of the families, and God has placed that burden upon us. You are the spiritual leader, and your walk with Christ sets the tone for everyone else in your home. When we do not deal with sin in our own lives, many times we pass that sin on to our children, and they have to deal with it as well. Many are alcoholics because their parents were alcoholics, or some are in jail because they followed their parents' footsteps in crime. Don't pass your sins down the line. Deal with it now for the sake of your family and your children. And with that, we should be setting an example. Putting God first means setting an example for your children. It's hard to ask your children to follow Christ if you're not doing it yourself. Here, let's be real practical here. Don't sit there and sit at home on Sunday and tell your kids that they must go to church and think that you have somehow fulfilled your responsibility as a spiritual leader of the family by sending your kids to church when you're sitting at home not coming to church. As godly fathers, we need to be able to say to our children, as Paul said to the people of the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11:1, it says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our dads could say those words to their children? hey, son, hey, daughter, come over here. I want you to imitate me as I imitate Christ. Can you imagine what that would do in our families? Fathers, if Eli were here today, first thing he would tell you is that you need to put God first in your life. The second thing is godly discipline. He'll tell you you need to discipline your kids. I know you kids may not want to hear that. But you need to discipline your kids. In fact, truth be known, I think kids, they want and they desire and they need boundaries. Whenever you don't go and discipline your kids, what you're telling your kids is, you know what, I don't really care about you. You can do what you want. And even though they want to push the boundaries sometimes, by you setting those boundaries and you discipline your kids, what that does is it teaches them, hey, you know what, I love you so much, I don't want you to go down that road. I want you to learn from me. We need to discipline your kids. Eli would tell you, be sure to discipline your children. And we read in 1 Samuel 3 of God's word, we see God's word to Eli through Samuel. Now, who is Samuel? Well, Hannah was barren, and she prayed to God, and God opened up her womb, and she had a son. And because of that, she was willing to offer her son back to God to use for his purpose. And that's a sermon even there by itself. Your children don't belong to you. They belong to God. And therefore, we should be willing to say, God, whatever you want in the life of my child, I'll support it. I'll be there for it. But Hannah had prayed, and God opened up her womb, and as a result of that, she was willing to offer her child and dedicate her son to the Lord. And so she gave him over to Eli so that he could be raised in the temple as a prophet of God. And as a young boy, God gave him his first prophecy. And this was Samuel's first prophecy here that was intended for Eli. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I will do something in Israel which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle.'" I mean, this is something that's going to be amazing. This is something that's going to be important, something that's going to be extravagant. I mean, this is unprecedented. This is something that everybody's going to be hearing, and they're going to be talking about it. "And in that day, I will perform against Eli." Remember, we're talking about the high priest here of Israel. "I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows." This is not something that's a surprise to him. He knows what's happening. He knows what he's doing. And he says, I will judge his house forever for the iniquity he knows, because his sons made themselves vile. Again, we are talking about those who are the priest in the temple. And he says they have made themselves vile. And notice this next bit. "And he did not restrain them." And he did not restrain them. He did not do what he was supposed to do as a father and also as a high priest. "And therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifices or offering forever." This was Eli's second biggest mistake here. Not only did he fail not to put God first in his life, but his sons were sinning against God, and he failed to restrain them. Dads, one of your primary responsibilities as parents is to discipline and train your children. And notice I said train. Too often we think of discipline, we think of just punishing our children for the wrong that they do. But this is only part one of discipline here. Discipline is really training your child to live in the way that is pleasing and honoring and glorifying to God. And so you may be asking the question, well, how do you train and discipline your child? Well, first of all, you want to teach them. You want to teach them. Teach them God's word. Teach them God's way. In Psalms chapter 119, verse 9, it says, "How can a young man cleanse his way?" Notice the answer here, by taking heed according to your word. One of the most important things that you can do for your children is to make sure that they learn and they know God's word. Now, you can do that through reading the Bible together as a family at home. You can make sure that your child is attending church on a weekly basis as a family. One of the things I love about Valerie and what she does over there with the kids is that she will actually go and teach out of the Bible. She'll go and teach these wonderful stories. And also they have a time where they go and they put verses to memory. They go memorize these verses and they learn these verses, and sometimes they'll even put these verses to song, and so they'll be singing over and over and over in their mind. My wife tells me she'll be preparing the services for her class and have these songs going, and she's like, man, it's like an earworm, man. It just keeps going and going and going, and she's learned so much scripture just because of the songs that she's been singing with the kids. And you know what? Your kids learn that as well. And it's one way that we can put God's word in their hearts and get them involved in children's church or maybe our youth group. So you can get them a good Christian book to read or to learn more about God, and also make sure you get a Bible. And we do have Bibles on the table there as well. If you need a Bible, you're welcome to take one of those with you. So encourage them to get their Bibles, or maybe you can even get them their own special Bible as well, which I know a lot of parents do. And you can read those books yourselves, and you can that's part of setting the example that you can do for your kids. And as fathers, we need to make family Bible reading important part of our regular routine. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar in order to read the Bible with your family. You don't need to do that. But take the time to read God's Word as a family and just discuss it together. And when my child was younger, we found that bedtime was probably the best time to do this because we weren't rushing and hurrying around with things that are going on. So things just sort of settled down at the end of the day, and we were able to just take that time to really focus on the Word of God. And as he got older, we introduced some teen discipleship books, and so that he could learn to do it independently in addition to our family time together. And I know battling against TV and games and social media is difficult, but listen, don't give up. Don't give up. You keep going on. You keep pressing. You keep pushing. You keep at it. It's worth it. Teach your children God's word and God's ways. But also encourage. You want to encourage. Encourage them when they do right. This is part of the dad's job, is to encourage his children. The Apostle Paul said to the church of Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, he says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charge every one of you, notice this, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Your children need your encouragement. We all know what it's like when we do something wrong and somebody catches us doing something wrong. We know what that's like. And sometimes as a parent, if we're not careful, that's all we focus on. We are always looking for something wrong with our kids, and whenever they do something wrong, and we're there to, you know, give them a smack in the back of the head or whatever, and to, hey, you know, what you did was wrong. You know, you need to straighten up. And we're really quick to catch them and doing something wrong. But let me encourage you to be quick with the praise as well. Get in the habit of catching them doing something right and encouraging them for that. You want to encourage them when they do right, but also we need to correct them when they do wrong. Both have to be there. In Proverbs 19:18, it says, chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart against on his destruction. If you say or do something, or do nothing rather, with your children whenever they do something that's wrong, well, then you're encouraging them to continue on in sin. And this will lead to their destruction. And we don't want to be party to their death. We don't want to be part of that destruction in their lives. So correct them whenever they're doing something wrong. So how do we discipline your children? Well, remember what Eli says. It would teach and encourage and correct your children. Eli's mistakes, what his son was doing, was sinning against God, and he failed to restrain them. So let me encourage you to make sure you're disciplining your children. But also, we need godly teaching as well. Teach your children about Jesus. Teach your children about Jesus. So many people today, even among some of the Christians, man, they just feel like, you know, well, they don't want to push them. They don't want to pressure them. They want them to sort of grow up and they can make their own decisions. Well, no, part of your responsibility as a parent is to teach them, what's right. Teach them what's correct. Teach them what's godly. Otherwise, who else is going to do it? They're certainly not going to get it out here in our world. In fact, if you were not teaching your child, they will. They will fill that gap for you. And what they learn is going to be devastating in their life, and it's going to be destructive. Teach your children about Jesus Christ. Now, Eli, of course, he didn't know about Jesus. He lived in about 1,000 years before Jesus was ever born. But if Eli would have come back today, knowing all that had taken place since, I can guarantee you that he would tell every single one of you, you need to teach your children about Jesus. How do I know that? Well, let's look at what Eli said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. It says, now Eli was very old, and he heard everything his sons did to all Israel, how they lay with women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. And he said to them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all the people. Everybody knows about it. They're coming to me and they're telling me about all these horrible things that you're doing in the temple. And he says, no, my sons, for it is not of a good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people transgress. People look at this and say, hey, well, you know, if the Lord's leader can do these things, then why can't I do it? Why can't I be involved in those things if they're doing it? And as a result of that, he was causing the Lord's people to transgress. He says, if one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? What a great question that is. Who will intercede for him? Nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill him. The Lord's judgment was already upon them. You see, the Lord desires justice. And they didn't want to repent. And so God says, okay, fine, you don't want to repent. Then he gave them exactly what they wanted. They didn't want to repent, so he didn't do a work of repentance in their life. Eli was very concerned about his son's relationship with God. And when Eli asked the question, if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? He didn't know the answer. But God answered Eli's question whenever God sent his son Jesus Christ to the world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, he says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. God sent his son Jesus to be the mediator between God and man, to be the one who would intercede for us when we sin against God. So Eli would tell you, dads, you need to tell your children about Jesus, because I'm going to tell you this right now. You know, they're going to make some mistakes in life. Your kids are going to blow it. Your kids are going to mess up. They're going to do the wrong thing. And so it's important for us to go and tell them about Jesus, because they're going to need an advocate in their life. Make sure you introduce them to Jesus. And so what do you tell them? Well, first of all, you tell them about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Tell them what Jesus Christ has done for them on the cross. Explain to them that we have all sinned and come short of God's glory. And we deserve to be punished because of our sin. But God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to take that punishment for us. And Jesus never did anything wrong. When Jesus suffered and died on the cross, he was dying for our sins. He was dying in our place. And he was taking our punishment that we deserve. Tell your children that God loved them so much that he sent his only son to die for them. And tell them that Jesus loved them so much that he was willing to die in their place. But also talk to them about repentance and faith as well. Teach them about repentance and faith. Teach them that we must turn away from our sins and put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are saved not by the good things that we do, but simply by putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ who died for us. You teach them to turn from their sins. Repentance is to do 180. Turn from the things of this world and you turn towards God. You go after God. You chase after God. And as a result of that, you go and you put your faith and trust in him and you believe what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross. Teach them to turn from their sins and to turn to the Lord and believe in Jesus. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. You and your household. Now, what that means is that everyone in your household has that opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Everyone must be willing to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Father, then there's a great possibility that the rest of your family will also come and know Jesus Christ as Savior because you've set the example for them. But also we need to teach them about confession and forgiveness. Teach them about confession and forgiveness. Teach them that we should confess our sins to God daily. As soon as we know that we have done something wrong, we should go and talk to God about it. We should confess it as sin and receive His forgiveness through Jesus Christ, His Son. Teach them the verse in 1 John 1:9. It says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just. Notice that verse. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a great verse for every dad to put to memory and to memorize it and then to pass that on to the kids as well. If Eli were here today, he would definitely tell you to teach your children about Jesus. But the fourth thing we see here is he says, you know, get started. Get started. The earlier that you start, the better. The earlier that you start, the better. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 25, it says, if any one man sins against another, God will judge him. But if a man sins against the Lord, who will intercede for him? He asked the question. But notice this, nevertheless, they did not heed the voice of their father because the Lord desired to kill them. Eli finally rebuked his sons for their sin. But it was too little too late. He should have started much earlier. So why is it best to start kids early when it comes to the things of God? Well, there's some benefits in starting early. First of all, an increase in receptiveness. Their hearts are more opened when they are young. In Luke chapter 18, verse 16, it says, but Jesus called to them and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. A child's heart is open and responsive to the kingdom of God in a special way when they're young. We need to share Christ with our kids before the years of sin take hold of their life and maybe even possibly harden their hearts toward the things of God. But also, we can decrease heartache in their lives as well. If you will save them a lot of trouble along the way if you teach them as a young child the things of God. Why wait until they're older to teach them God's word and God's way? The Bible says about wisdom in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness and her path, the path of peace. As soon as your child starts their walk with God, the sooner they will learn God's ways and you will spare them and yourself much heartache along the way. And you might say, you know what, my kids are already teenagers. It's too late for me. It's too late to do things now. Well, then Eli would come along and say, you know what? Don't put off until tomorrow. Start today. Start today. Starting yesterday would have been better than starting today, but starting today is much better than starting tomorrow. We can't change the past, but we can change the present, and we can have an impact on the future if we start right now, if we start today. So, sure, it would have been better if you would have done it all along at the very beginning, starting with day one with your kids. But don't let the past stop you in the present. Don't put off until tomorrow. Start today. Start today. And this may be a great time at Father's Day for you to be able to sit down with your kids and say, you know what? Maybe I haven't been the father that I need to be. And maybe I haven't been the father that I should have been up to this point. But I want to sit down with you. And first of all, you know, if you've done wrong, confess to your sins, you're wrong. Confess to your kids that what you've done wrong and ask for their forgiveness. But then you make a commitment to them and say, you know what, from this point on, I'm going to live the way that I should live. And I'm going to be an example to you so that you can follow after me, just like the scripture says. So what would Eli tell us on Father's Day? What advice would he give us here this morning? We would say, put God first in your life. Discipline your children. Teach them about Jesus. And the earlier you start, the better. Eli would also be the first to tell you that he didn't follow his own advice. But he would tell you that with a broken heart and through painful tears of regret. And he would tell you that so that you don't make the same mistakes that he did. Eli gave some pretty good advice for us here this morning for Father's Day. Let's listen to His counsel and let's put it into practice. Be the father that God has called you to be and never give up on your children, regardless how far they've strayed. I know some of us are dealing with kids who may have strayed and who may have, despite the instruction that they have received at a very young age, they may be far away from God. Let me encourage you to continue to pray for them. You never know what God may do in their hearts. You continue to live the life for Jesus and keep providing that example for them to follow. You keep them in prayer. You never give up on your children. Well, it is Father's Day. And so I want to say happy Father's Day here this morning. And I pray that as we think about Father's Day, and I pray that you've learned some things here, the things that you can do in order to encourage your kids to follow after the Lord. Because in the end, that's our desire. We want to see our kids come and know Jesus Christ and to live for God, to live for Christ, to live a life that's honoring and glorifying to Him. But we need to make sure that we are setting the example for that as well. So let's go to the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You so much for all that You have done for us, Lord. And Lord, what a privilege and honor and a responsibility that it is for us as fathers to be the spiritual leaders of our family, to teach our kids the way that they should go. And so, Lord, I know it's getting, it seems like, more difficult each day with all the life around us, the environment that we live in, the media, the pressure. It seems like we're sometimes fighting a losing battle. But Lord, I pray that we never give up. Help us not to lose hope. Help us not to become weary in well-doing, Lord, but help us to continue to stand for You and to guide and to lead our families as we should. And we thank You in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.